Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Mr. Lee Cantor. How you doing, man?
I am doing A-OK. What about you?
I am very jazzed. You already know, but a lot of our listeners may not be aware of yet, so let's make them so. We have our network mixer tomorrow.
That's right. Every quarter, we try to do a little get-together, friends and family, guests and friends of guests and hosts get together and hang out a little bit.
And we always have a great turnout. That's going to be a lot of fun, but I don't think it'll be any more fun than what we're going to do today. In today's segment, a little bit later on, we're going to get a chance to visit with Pat Harmeyer with Einstein HR. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Marnell and David Hibbard with Dialexis. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. We're happy to be here.
Stone and Lee. Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And I think we'll start with you, David. If you would, could you give us just kind of an overview, mission, purpose? What are you guys out there trying to do for folks? And who exactly are you trying to help out there with Dialexis?
Well, the big game, the big focus for us is to make selling a professional career and hold it at its highest possibility. And it's given us an amazing lifestyle, and so we think of it as a tremendous career. And it's our intent to help salespeople perform better, drive more net new business, get better results. So that's pretty much what we're up to.
So now when you say salespeople, are you talking salespeople as an individual salesperson, maybe as a solopreneur, or like an enterprise level where it's a sales team? Is it everybody, or is it a certain group?
Lee, it's pretty much everybody. So the people that we're focused on, the organizations would be large corporations, Fortune 500. Some of them are the most admired corporations in America. Some are the most ethical corporations in America, but all are powerful corporations and professional. And we are focused on their sales teams. And so that is predominantly where we're operating throughout North America and Europe.
But now, doesn't like if I work for a big company like IBM and I go call on somebody, they're going to return my phone call. But if I work on, you know, a small company and I'm a solopreneur – and I'm Lee with some company, I could be selling the same thing, but I'm not going to be kind of as welcome.
Well, it's not about the size of the company. It's about the ability to make contact no matter what size company you're with.
So you think there's universal rules that will work for any salesperson?
Well, Marnell, go ahead.
You know, I wanted to interject here, Lee. I think that having an IBM card helps without a doubt, no question about it. But I think what Dave is alluding to is that we're talking about efficiencies here, and what we're really focused on is the specific skill on how to make contact with a decision maker or someone of high influence. And I think that's really the key, Lee, because no matter if you have an IBM card, how many people get blocked by voicemail? And I would say probably universally, probably 80%, you know? So that's really what we're all about, really helping people make contact to a decision maker or a high influencer.
Right, right. So it doesn't matter really what company you're with. You've got smaller organizations that, if they have the right formula, can reach decision makers. And you've got larger organizations, salespeople, that if they don't have the right formula, will not reach decision makers despite their power of their company.
And, you know, I know this is one question. You probably have more, Stone. But I think that, honestly, making contact to an ice-cold person that you don't know is really been an underutilized way of driving business. And, you know, would you speak to that, Dave? Because I really think that that's what we want to do, is break through to open up a new paradigm of how to make contact to a decision maker or a high influencer in an ethical way so they can present a product or a service to support that company's growth.
Right, right. So Soar Selling, which is the book we wrote on this topic, the big thing going on that we find is that people are working, salespeople, business development people, are working really hard doing it an old way. And one would call it cold calling. So they're cold calling. And some of these folks are making 50, 100 dials a day. It's brutal. And they're using methodology that does not allow them to make contact unless they make those 100 or so calls, because that it's called BTN plus L, buy the numbers plus luck. You make enough calls, something sticks, you know.
I love it.
A salesperson tells their manager that, hey, I made 100 calls today, and their manager says, how'd you do? And he says, well, I talked to two people, and I got one appointment. Well, that's not going to cut it. Well, what did I do? Make more calls. And so it becomes a brutal methodology that has been kind of the mainstay, right, Marnell, for years.
It has, yes.
And it's not working.
No, and not at all. In fact, what's happened, because it really is an art, so what we've done is created the science behind the art and the SOAR methodology, the SOAR formula. But what has happened is it's really become almost like a dirty word. Now you're a telemarketer.
Right.
And that's like the lowest form of selling, like a boiler room. They've made movies on this stuff. And so what SOAR is really a formula on how to make contact, mitigating voicemail, mitigating that, you know, people are in meetings all the time. Absolutely.
Right, all of that. And what's interesting about it is all the selling programs in the world today, Stone, everything that you see out there, like Spin Selling and Miller Hyman's products and Sandler and Solution Selling and PSS, the old Xerox selling method, all these are great. And they're pretty good systems. And they all, however, teach salespeople what to do once you get in.
Mm-hmm.
But no one is saying, yeah, but how do I get in so I can do this?
So your thesis is that the most important conversation is that first one? And you have to have a system to kind of get to that first conversation so that you can build a relationship?
Yeah. Well, the first thing we have to do is make contact, right?
Right.
So there's all these like barbed wire blockades going on out there. So once a person learns how to get past those blockades in a professional, ethical way, they then make contact. And then what happens next is they're supposed to say something intelligent or compelling. And what we've seen when we do in all of our programs that we do with corporations, we do live dialing in the class. We don't do the dials, but the people, the
right there in the class.
Right in the class.
Oh,
live.
How cool.
We put a horseshoe hot seat up and says, who wants to go first? And they live dial. And it's pretty interesting that you find people make contact using SOAR. As I said, when the person says, this is Bill, they don't know what to say. And so then we realized that we had to start teaching value statements. What do you say when you make contact? And so that's where it gets pretty dicey. But so it's the old way has just been, you know, as I said, BTN plus L, just make a lot of calls and somebody eventually says yes and, you know, you move on. But you know what happens is because there's so much pressure on salespeople to perform, they keep trying harder and harder, and then sometimes you get unprofessional techniques, unethical techniques, not because these folks, I think, are fundamentally unethical. It's just they don't know what else to do, and they start bending the rules a lot. And then if they don't win, you get attrition. And so it's really a failing formula that's been going on, and no wonder people don't want to do it.
Now, do you think that salespeople are born or they can be taught these skills?
Okay, let me answer this. I think without a doubt – I thought about this. This is really interesting. Why do I love being in sales, Lee? It's because I love to problem solve. I really love to support people. I believe that if I can help a company or an individual become successful because of what I'm promoting or selling and so on. In fact, your guest later today, we were talking in the green room before this, and she has a real viable product to be able to support companies. But as she was saying, Pat says, but I need to get out in front of these people. So I think that it's really you, if your people service, if you have an ethical approach and you really want to problem solve, I think that you have the ability to be in sales. I really
do. Right.
We had
a young lady working for us who said, I hate to sell. I'm not a good salesperson. I don't like it. That's not who I am. And I remember saying to her, well, look, don't do that then. Don't sell anything. We don't want you to sell. All I want you to do, can you call people and just tell them what we do? She says, well, I can do that. So she started calling people and telling them stuff, and she's our top rep. I mean, she does so well.
Right.
It's really a matter of giving people a formula that they can execute, and they do quite well once they're given away.
So SOAR is Repeatable Transferable Methodology. SOAR, is that an acronym or an acrostic or something?
Because it's important for Stone.
I'm big on the whole
it
acrostic.
Is. Oh, I love it. No, I love it.
It helps
me
remember what to say, right?
It does. Okay, and it is an acronym, okay. And it stands for Surge of Accelerating Revenue. SOAR, SOAR selling. Because what we found, and we found this with very senior people that have big enterprise accounts, that if they made one new contact a month in a year's time, technically or typically we find that they'll find two new large accounts. And so what we call that is job security.
Yeah.
I mean, really, right? Because there is client attrition.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah, absolutely. When we're teaching this, the senior people think, oh, because they're so programmed the old way. Like, I don't want to cold call. We don't do cold calling. We're senior. But it's not about cold calling. SOAR is about strategic target contacts. So we tell these senior folks, look, make 12 hot target calls a year. Ice cold start. Use SOAR to make contact. 12 in a year. And as Marnell said, by the end of that year, they'll have two new major accounts. And that just frees them up because no one wants to sit and hammer out. We don't do it. I don't hammer out calls. I'm not going to do it. Why would anybody else want to do it?
Right.
That's
right.
Not how you get business?
No, we don't. We get it. We really get it by through good service from folks like you who put out to the media, which we love and we appreciate that. And we also get it through relationships.
Absolutely.
And we get it by very target contact using our own product.
All right, so there's the book. There is a training class or an entire curriculum and presumably some sort of follow-through system. I want to talk about both, but let's start with the book. What compelled you to write the book? Was that part of the marketing strategy? Was it important to have that as part of the curriculum? What was the thought process behind putting the book out?
Yeah, you know, it was really – I think it was based on pain and heart. We were both in the commercial real estate business and selling buildings, straight commission, eat what you kill kind of business. And our whole world was on the streets, on the phone, just banging away, doing that BTN plus L process. I mean, it's brutal. And so when we broke out of commercial real estate and started into this world of sales development and leadership development, suddenly, you know, we kind of backed away and said, look, this piece about reaching decision makers is so difficult for people. And there's not much in the world on it at all. And so why don't we solve that? Why don't we start focusing on solving that? And so our objective, our North Star, whatever you want to call it, was to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while of working with companies and getting help and figuring it out, running into opportunities, you know, without even knowing what we're doing until we finally found the formula. And so I think it came out of heart. It came out of frustration. You know,
well, you have the scar tissue of living the problem.
Yes.
We do it that. Yes. We do it that. We call it the hole in the shoe. We've been on the streets doing this long time.
Now, the two of you wrote it together. You collaborated on this book.
That's a
network miniseries right there. Just speak to that a little bit. What was it like to collaborate with anyone, let alone your roommate?
Okay. Right? All right.
Well, can I just say one thing about that real quick?
No, you can't. I want to take this over right now.
Well, be sure to mention the therapist in the middle of it all. Yeah, go ahead. All right, so
does that mean your editor? Are we calling your editor the therapist?
No, Dave and I have high respect for each other. But what we did learn, because this is not our first book. Our first book was about team and leadership called The Canoe Theory. And
what's canoe mean? Does that stand
canoe,
for something?
Yeah, it is. No.
What's a C?
It's a direction of it's a philosophy, basically what it is, a methodology on how do you lead a team and how everyone needs to be
rowing.
Thank you. I always say paddling, rowing in the same direction.
It's paddling. It is. I know. Rowing a canoe. It's paddling, right?
No. Well, anyway.
Whatever. That everyone plays together, right. Or don't be in the canoe.
Right. But in that, this is our second book. So we collaborated. We all wrote together. Dr. Stockman was
the Canoe Theory
on the Canoe Theory as well. So we learned a lot of lessons, Stone, from that first book where we all collaborated, and it was a nightmare. It took us 3 years to write this book. So on the source selling, Dave was the primary author. He really absolutely put it down, and then he and I collaborated all along the way, and then he gave me the rights to revisions and adding, and we really had some good dialogue. But he really was the primary author, and we were really proud when McGraw-Hill said, "This is a very well-written book." So it was a good thing. But we learned there needs to be one chef. There really does, and so that was a good thing. And he was a star.
Well, I think you're downplaying your contribution. It was magnificent, really. But it is true, to write together, we found that one person writes, when they're finished with that chapter, whatever, the other one goes in and does some patchwork and additions.
Right.
First writer reviews, and you go back and forth till you have it. But to write a piece, and then another person writes a piece, and then you write a piece,
right,
and the same chapter gets chaotic. So that's how we figured it out in the first book.
Right, we did.
Yeah. So this took less than 3 years?
Yes, it did. No, it took
We knocked this out over the weekend.
Yeah. Absolutely. But to your point, it was one of the biggest challenges in selling. Is how, listen, as a professional, if I have a solution for your company or you as a person to grow, I want to be able to present that to you. And then you make the decision. What Dave and I really recognized is being in front of that decision maker was probably one of the most difficult things that hadn't been solved. So that really was our goal. And we learned a lot from our clients as we first started this SOAR methodology on the streets. And then we transformed it into the telephone. And what we realized is this is an underutilized way to approach finding new business. Everyone wants a lead. Everyone wants to network. Everyone wants it simple and clean and neat. And I love that all day long. But even if you're given a referral, Lee, you still have to make contact.
Sure.
And if you get blocked by voicemail or what is this, and you get discouraged, they don't know. And so SOAR is a formula, and that's what I love about it.
Right, right.
Was there a chapter or a topic that was particularly difficult or a little more difficult than others to come together for you that you labored over more?
I don't think so. I mean, we're writing out of our soul. You're writing out of years of experience, and it seemed as though it just flowed. When you have a deep belief and you stand for professional selling and you know that corporations are working so hard and salespeople are working so hard to drive net new business and demand generation is the big game and everyone's trying so hard and you have passion as we do for this topic, it just rolls. It just flows. I don't recall it, do you, Marnell, of any particular chapter being
The one
difficult.
Thing that we haven't mentioned, Dave, mm-hmm. that I think is really important is that this is a system. So could someone learn the system to your question or
anybody.
Salespeople born or can they, learn this? You absolutely can learn it because it's almost like paint by numbers. It's that specific and you can be that good at making contact. But the one thing that we haven't mentioned is the mindset piece. And I think that has played in our work throughout our career, and that is that it's not only making that call or even going to that networking meeting, it's the mindset behind it. What is the driving force? And we really found that to be very
important.
So, like,
the big why?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The really why are you doing this? And
yes.
It has to be, I guess, coming from that you're trying to help somebody and you sincerely believe that your product or service is something that's going to benefit
that
others.
That is absolutely it. And then also
– Well, the real thing here, it's rather interesting. We always use this story in teaching. If you ever watch the shows on, like, Discovery Channel or the Animal Planet or whatever they are where you see all the wildebeest going through Africa on their migration, and they come to this river. I always call it the Serengeti River, whatever it is, and they all bunch up there. They bump into each other, all thousands and thousands or millions of these animals bunched up at the river because the river is full of crocodiles. You can see them sitting out. They're waiting. Like, here they come. Here comes all the boys and girls. And so the question is, why would an animal cross a river that they know is filled with death? And the answer, obviously, is there's something on the other side that matters so much that they'll take that chance. And so salespeople will use SOAR. SOAR works dead on, 90% contact rate on net new calls, insane rate. And it works, but that doesn't mean they'll do it. And when someone does it, it's usually because there's something on the other side that matters in their life. It's not just fulfilling for the company that they get to hit their numbers or their quarterly budget numbers or whatever. It's often that by doing so, they make more money. And because they make more money, they can do things for their family or their parents or give it away or whatever the, you know, whatever they want to do. So there's something on the other side is the psychology that we use as formulized in the book that we talk about that causes people to want to do something. Mm-hmm. There was an old thing called birds on a wire. If there's 10 birds on a wire and five decide to fly, how many are left? Well, the answer is 10, but because deciding to fly doesn't mean you're flying. So you might decide to use SOAR, but what causes you to actually do it?
Right.
And it's that vision, pain, or dream, one of those two factors.
Can you share a little bit about how you went from the commercial real estate side to this leadership side? At some point, you got your first enterprise client, right? Like
right.
this was a pivot in your life at some point, right?
Right.
You made this change. So how did you go about getting that first enterprise client?
Marnell and I were in this commercial real estate world. And on a Saturday, we were washing the car together out in the street. It's all sudsed up in a big bucket and a hose. And a guy across the street came over, a neighbor who was with Steelcase Corporation. And he said, hey, Dave, at that time, I was running a brokerage team. And he said, hey, Dave, aren't you teaching brokers how to prospect? And I said, yeah, that's all we do, of course. And he said, would you teach my people at Steelcase? And I said, well, I don't know anything about contract furniture. And Marnell jumped in and said, he'll do it. and he said,
salespeople right. like yeses.
Yeah.
Honest to gosh. The guy said, what would you charge? He said, how about a black vertical file cabinet? We need one. He said, done.
Dave, it was almond at the time.
Whatever.
It wasn't black.
Maybe it's black. But he walked away, said, great. And I got suds all over my hands. And when he walked away, I said to Marnell, I don't know how to do
he
that.
Said,
I don't
what think, are you thinking?
What are you doing?
I can't do that. I said, oh, you're going to be good at this. This is going to be good.
So in the morning, I got up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym. I wrote a note saying I'm not going to do it. I've decided not to do it, but thanks for the kind offer. And I was going to put it on his windshield. I opened the front door. The file
and there
cabinet
was a lateral file cabinet sitting on the
oh, my
front
God.
Porch.
And it was like, oh, God, I got to do it. So I did it, and it went well, and we brought a different mindset, a commercial real estate mindset, into what we call the domesticated world, and they loved it. And then it started happening with Steelcase, and it went into the contract furniture world. Marnell then jumped in. She began speaking and training. We just kind of went for 2 years like that until we had quite a good following, and then we left the commercial real estate world. It seemed like it was our destiny, and I think I say the good Lord does directed us where we're supposed to be, and that's helping people get to the top.
Right. I think taking our skill and sharing it has been a real motivator for both David and I. Really, it is. It's that you have the combination, so how do you share the combination? Yeah. That was really the underpinning of the book, is to share that methodology so people could. Because sometimes, I mean, we do live trainings and we have them sometimes in an open forum. And, you know, for $700, you can sit through a day and have a live experience at doing this and live dial. And it's like a bungee jump. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But some people may not have that ability and may be that independent person that wants to help their career grow. And so for whatever you can get on Amazon, you can buy the book and it teaches you exactly how to go through the process.
Right, right. You can learn it for $16 or you can learn it face-to-face, have a Dialexis instructor there.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways you can pick it up.
Now, how has the system changed any with the advent of the new technology? Like, you know, email and Skype and all that stuff, or are the principles the same regardless?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. We
can you
refine
tweet a
this.
Cold call? Can you tweet this?
Yes. Yeah, you could tweet a cold call. We have absolutely almost from the day that we, you know, published this book, we've already have revisions because we constantly market test it in the field and it really does shift like anything, right? And so it's always evolutionizing itself. And we have other trainers, Frank Cook in the DC area and Paul Madot in the Canadian area, as well as half a dozen others. Those are master trainers. So we get together and always look at how do we tweak it to be constantly in tune with what's happening technology-wise and so on.
So yeah. Let's go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's right.
I want to talk a little bit about the role of the sales manager, because it strikes me that maybe the wheels could come off if the sales manager gets in there and maybe untrains them quicker than you can train them. They do have some influence, right?
They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a great question,
Scott. That was a fantastic
question. I love that question. I love that question. You know what? When we first started, we went into the sales, teaching the salespeople more of a mindset, because SOAR really wasn't developed at that time. It really wasn't. This is 20 years ago. But it was the mindset of a salesperson and some techniques, but not to where it's today. But you know what we really found, Stone? It's the leaders. The leaders make a huge difference. And so we shifted our whole focus to be leadership driven. And it was really interesting, because what we've now evolutionized ourselves to be is to have the sales leader be player coaches. So we come in with the methodology, the formula, but we teach you as a leader how to keep it alive and how we track numbers, and we have you be a coach so you're more empowered to make this happen, because we know that typically in a sales world, your bonus is about making numbers. And you do that not through your production, but usually your people's production.
Right, right. You know, sales managers, listen, they're driven to hit their numbers. They're looking for anything that can make it happen. And when they see this and they see the metrics that are involved in tracking and measurement, they're in, and they support it because it helps them get a result. And so, yeah, it's a big component. We find they're supportive rather than the other way around.
Absolutely. They see that. But I think us bringing them into the camp on how to coach this really empowers them to be more of the process of supporting it so it stays alive. You know what? It's interesting, because I think SOAR develops a sales culture of always finding net new business, always finding new business. And that is the lifeblood of a company. It really is. Keep it alive or you die.
So before we wrap, I want to get some tactical advice on a very specific issue, any counsel that you might have to offer. And it's you make the contact with or without the benefit of having this methodology. And the person says, yeah, send me something. And I don't know. I personally cringe when they do that. And I don't even want to create something that I could send them, because I really want to talk to them, right? Or I want them to come to the office.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So any general counsel you have around
that? Absolutely. You obviously haven't read the book. It's in the book. Come on, Stone. Come on.
Yeah.
No, send me something is a great opportunity. In fact, in our training, this is one of the things, Lee, that we've decided that makes a huge difference. Dave, tell them about send me something.
So look, this is interesting. When someone says send me something, we always say to salespeople in training, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And then you'll hear little pop-ups in the group. Someone will say, well, it means that they're trying to get you off the phone. It's a blow-off. They don't want you. It means hang up. And they have this preconceived notion that send me something means nothing or bad news. And so we changed the word. And we said, well, what if they didn't say send me something? What if they said Ziggy me? What would you do? You would say to your manager, well, I didn't reach the guy. He told me to Ziggy him. And then the manager would say, well, what is Ziggy? And then you'd say, well, I didn't know. And then the manager would say, well, why didn't you ask? So when someone says send me something, the first thing is to ask them some questions, which are outlined in the book. But if it ends up that send me something is your last playing card and you believe it to be authentic, there is a technique in the book called number six. And it's exactly what's called number six. And when a salesperson uses number six on a send me something, they get a face-to-face appointment. It's the most bizarre turnaround thing you'll ever see. The person will say, just send me something. And they'll say, well, I'd be happy to talk with you about it if I can maybe meet with you. No, no, we don't want to do that. Just if you want to send it over. We'll look at it. If we have any interest, we'll let you know. We say to them to say yes. They say, okay, where would you like me to send it? And they write the email down. And then they say, let me ask you this. And they do this thing called number six. And in a matter of less than a minute, all of a sudden, the person agrees to an appointment. So you take a send me something and you can convert it to an appointment, unless they're out of state or something like that. But for in-state people, send me something is a slam dunk just by using this number six. It's in the book. It's pretty wild. So you, Stone, you'll never be, you'll never have to worry about send me something again. Just read that
piece. Fantastic. And I am going to read the book. I'm going to steal the copy that Kevin has. So where can our listeners get their hands on the book, and where can they reach out and have a substantive conversation with you or some of your folks in the
field?
Absolutely.
I think the best place to go is on the SOAR selling website. So SOARSELLING.com. And in there, there are tools, white papers. We have a newsletter.
Video.
Our goal is to really support a salesperson. We feel, as Dave opened this up, it's given us such a rich life. We've traveled all over the world training. We've had great experiences meeting people. It's just been a beautiful thing. And we really think, as I said to you, Lee, I think being a salesperson is really an honorable profession,
right,
where you bring solutions to company or individuals to help them grow their business and have them be successful.
Right.
So SOARSELLING.com.
That's the best place to go. And there's a portal where organizations can now, you know, they can buy the book and people can read it and you can learn it that way. They can do a webinar. They can have a live training at their company, or there's a portal now where they can license the product, the formula, and use it throughout the year for their salespeople mm-hmm. to get components of it and learn it online.
And right. You have master certified trainers.
We do.
Yes,
this?
Yeah, we do. Right.
Is that something, are you as a company looking to get more of those?
I think that's a great idea. We would love it. We really do. We really want this work to be out in the world, because I think, as I use it, it's a tool for me. It's like a Phillips screwdriver. I mean, making contact, it's such an important piece of the selling process. Right. I love it. So I want everyone to have
more
access
trainers
to
and
it.
More salespeople. We could use it all. It's moving.
And then,
it's
but on the for move. Your company, the targets are enterprise level companies.
Well, it could be any small company. It could have two or three people. They might use the portal that way instead of having a live training, because mm-hmm. it would be more prudent for them. Or any large corporation. We have a large list of Fortune 500 companies that invite us to use this product, and we have many entrepreneurial smaller firms. So it's all over the board. Anything we can do to move the ball forward on driving net new business for organizations is really what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you both in the studio. And,
thank you.
I think it would be fun when you come back through town, if we could get it scheduled. I think it would make for a fantastic segment to have you come back, and maybe with a client. I mean, do you think
maybe
that would make
somebody
for
a good... that's using that in
oh,
their
absolutely. In fact, we on our way over, we just walked in to a client. Their offices were across from
here
our hotel.
Right in town.
Yeah, right in town, right in Atlanta. And they said to us, we have been hiring younger salespeople, and that model wasn't so effective for us, so we're now hiring more tenure people, and they love the SOAR methodology.
Right.
And they said, I'm really proud to say that to you.
If you guys do want to have us back, we'd love it. Send me something. We'll look at it. And we'll let you know if
give
we have any
book.
Interest.
Give me that book. Where's number six?
I might have to number six you on this.
It's been a pleasure, you guys. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, that'd be
love
great.
It. Oh,
you're
going to
meet a great guest, too. We met this lady in the green room, as we said, Pat. She's terrific. She has a good story, so we're happy to listen.
Excellent. Thanks, Jones. Thanks, Lee. Sure. Appreciate it.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio this morning, we have with us from Einstein HR, Miss Pat Harmeyer. How you doing?
Doing great, Stone, and glad to be here.
Well, you've been very kind and patient. I thought I saw you take a few notes during that conversation.
Oh, I certainly did, and I think I'm going to, as a salesperson, I'm going to be involved in SOAR selling now.
Well, I did notice you weren't taking notes when Lee and I were talking. You were taking notes when the two of them were talking.
That's true. I think they had a lot to add.
I told you she was a sharp woman.
So Einstein HR mission, purpose, give us the quick overview, and then let's dive into some of the specific things you guys are out there trying to do.
Well, the short answer is we're a payroll administration company. We also offer employee benefits, but it's a whole lot more than that, a lot deeper. We like to say we provide big company benefits and things, but we do it with a small community service. We've been voted for the last 5 years as having the best customer service. So we take that as a real kudo for the way we handle our clients and what we do.
Now, how do you differentiate yourself from some of the larger kind of national firms?
Well, and if you want to have a local number that you can call and you can actually have a local service person, a local salesperson that's going to answer the phone and talk to you, it really helps. We are nationwide. We have companies and have clients all over, but especially for our Atlanta area clients, we can provide things that in the way of customer service that a lot of places don't. Our platform, for one thing, is much newer than what the big box companies are using. So it's more responsive. It's all web-based. Every employee goes right online, does their own thing. The administrator has access to all the reports, all of the hours worked. I mean, what it's costing just hour by hour if they want to look at it like that. So our platform is considerably different and a good response to the big box guys.
Now, how do you have a certain niche that you work, or is it any business of a certain, like, what's the profile of your client?
Yeah. No, we can go from one person up to thousands, and we have clients with 1,000 employees, but we can do for one person the same way. I like to, 10 to 100 is a good middle market, because that's your small business. Mm-hmm. That's the person that really needs what we're offering. They don't have the time and the resources to have an HR person on board. They don't have the time to study all of the regulations and make sure they're staying compliant with everything.
Right, and that's changing, it seems like, on a weekly basis.
That's on an hourly basis. Every time Congress gets together and passes something else, you know, you have a problem. And that's our job. That's what we like to do. The business owner doesn't want to do that. They right. shouldn't have to do that. And so we take care of all of that for them and limit the liability that they have.
So what's your backstory? How did you fall into this line of work? Have you always been involved in HR or PEO kind of business?
Yeah. Well, I've been in sales and marketing from education and experience for more years than I want to tell you. So, but yes, earlier this year, I sold the business I had doing this and thought I might consider retiring, and that's not an option. Mm-hmm. So I talked with Einstein. They're doing the same thing I was doing, but on a little bit better basis. And I like the platform that they were working from.
And they have T-shirts.
And they
remember
have
I told
t-shirts,
you off air,
exactly.
I don't know how or where I got it, but I have an Einstein T-shirt.
Well, we're going to get you a brand new one that you can wear during the week and that you don't have to just wear on Saturday to wash the car.
Mm-hmm. So all this healthcare intelligence and activity, we'll call it for now.
That's job security for you.
Are you like lobbying for just more? No, it's got to have a real impact on your world, right?
It does, and we are really anticipating huge strides in our business in the next couple of years as more and more people are exposed to what the Affordable Care Act is going to bring them.
Doesn't something happen like in a few months?
In January 1 of next year right. is the big deadline, and then the following January there's more. There's things that they have put off now for a couple of years that will also kick in. They don't really know yet what all's happening. It does change daily. But that's our job. I mean, we have white papers we've written on it. We have all of the systems in place to keep up with whatever they do. But what makes it different? See, with a PEO, and you mentioned PEO, a professional employer organization, we literally take the employee under our tax number. Uh-huh. That's how we limit the liability. That employee becomes our employee.
You can have Kevin. Right now. What's that going to run me?
We'll trade him for a future draft pick.
I wish. I'd take him in a minute. But that makes it that's where we can come in and make sure that the business owner doesn't get caught with something that they didn't know was happening with the regulations and have some big surprise come January 1 that they haven't done something right or they haven't obeyed. And you know how that is. It's been that way, but it's really going to compound itself.
Now, is this an expensive service? How does the company fund it?
No, not at all. Especially if you compare to what we charge, which is a percent of payroll. Mm-hmm. If you compare that to hiring a person that's going to sit at a desk and do this all day, and then that person is going to be involved in your organization, so the confidentiality is not there if you have an on-site person handling it. So, and with a percent of payroll, if the business is small, they are not paying as much. If they grow, it's going to increase.
Right.
So it makes it very effective.
And what you're buying or renting or whatever the appropriate term is not only the activity, the work, but peace of mind, speaking as an equity
right.
owner. That's really, that's a large part of what you're getting for your dollar,
yeah,
right?
It certainly does. And that's what makes that percent very, very welcome. Yeah.
So when you're going out into the marketplace right now, how are you getting your business?
Well, I'm going to have to buy
this book. I know what you're
going to
do tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Since you're dealing with somebody's finances and you're dealing with, generally with the ownership of a company, confidentiality gets to be a big thing.
Right.
So I do a lot of networking, and that puts me in a position to get referrals. And then the referrals lead to credibility already. Mm-hmm. You can go in and the person knows that you've been spoken highly of you've been referred, that we're going to be able to handle it and we're going to do it in a confidential manner.
Now, so, are they moving from an existing company to your company, or are they moving from nothing to your company?
Either way. We're very competitive in the market with what I call the big box guys. Mm-hmm. We're very competitive. And so those we can replace. And like I said, with the customer service, it's really worth it. And then if we save time and money, that just adds to it. But a brand new business starting out, same thing. I mean, they're trying to budget what they're going to do.
Right.
They can look at this and know exactly what it's going to cost them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to worry every payroll period, is this figure one time, and then there's going to be another charge, and then there's going to be something extra. And we don't do any of that. It's a flat fee. So they know exactly up front what it's going to cost them every payroll period.
And so the warning signs, if you will, small business, what kind of signs do they see that say, hey, we better get serious about this and talk to Pat or somebody about it?
Well, if they just pick up the paper every day these days, they can see.
That's enough. It's not enough.
Exactly.
So much
it's enough to scare most of them.
All right. Well, then let's talk about vetting, because I don't know that I even know what questions. If I had three PEO people come in here today and I was going to talk to them, I don't even know that I would know what questions to ask to figure out who I wanted to work with.
Yeah.
What are some good questions? What should I be looking for?
Yeah. We mentioned the customer service because we think we're so good at that. And I mentioned the platform that we're working off of. A lot of the companies have gone web-based, and that is important. You want a company that's going to be able to handle everything right online with the one website. So as you go to the website, you can see explanations of what the PEO is, how it's going to work. The website's very well-written for instructing and letting people learn what's going on. So that's one of the biggest ways to find out some of the things. But then as you're a client and you log on to the website, and like I say, everybody kind of puts their own hours in, does it. We go in and train. And so when a person signs up, the first thing we do, I'm their personal salesman or one of our sales team. Then they have a personal service person. That person is going to meet with them one-on-one, train the employees, take over everything that the employer, any problems they're having, any concerns they had with their prior company that they were dealing with, and they're going to train everybody so that it fits right in. The business owner, hands off. They don't have to do anything. That makes a lot of difference when you're looking for a company that you're going to trust with something like payroll.
Now, when you're trying to sell this into a company, is your point of contact the CEO? Is it the HR person? Who is the person that you...
If the company is large enough to have an HR,
and
then we can work
with them.
But most times when you're working with the size companies, they're looking for somebody. They need an HR person.
Right.
But the person that handles the finances, most often the business owner, we generally do have, run into a CFO or somebody that's going to do it. other people that use it are like CPAs that might be asked by their clients to do their payroll.
So you partner with CPA firms?
Because if they do the payroll, they have the same liability as the business owner. Come on. So we can let them provide the payroll service, but then they can – and. I mean, it can be theirs if they want to say it is, but they're paying the same flat rate, so it makes it very effective for them.
So the more CPA firms you know, the better it is for you, right?
The better it is for me. I love those. Those are the ones I cold call sometimes. And they say, send me something, and I say, what is it you want me to send?
Number six.
Yeah. And now I have my answer. Oh, I'll send you number six.
So, David, do you have any tips for Pat to get the word out about what she's doing? You have any suggestions and tactics for her to kind of penetrate the market a little bit?
Well, you know, the thing that I don't handle this piece of business at our company, but what I really thought was interesting about what Pat said and what her service is, and Pat, tell me if I misread it, but you said when you guys do this work, when Einstein does it, you take the liability. And I mean, you know, I hear that and I'm like, I'm all in. I mean,
yes, exactly. Yeah,
really. Number one, I don't have to do it. Number two, we don't have to hire anybody, so to speak, as an employee to do it. And number three, it is complex. Well, all the government, what do you call them, Pat? The
regulations.
As an owner, we don't have time to sit and study all the regs and understand. And then they take the liability. That's the big thing to me, I think.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So, Pat, I read that right. I heard that
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that is a huge piece of it, more so now than it was 15 or 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, today's market, the liability is the big elephant in the room.
Yeah. Well, I'm very intrigued. That was terrific.
One of the things I wanted to say is that Pat should be in your networking tomorrow.
Yes.
So I think that I would recommend that. And then I think you're so good at what you do, and I love your approach, because as a business owner, I really understand that I don't have time. And to me, Lee, this is what a good salesman recognizes. I don't have time to be the person that knows all of the regulations and understand it all. And I love what you said as an employer, that I have someone outside the office to be that confidant.
Yeah,
because the HR person, they're friends with some of the people, and you know that they're people. They may say something like, oh, Dave got a raise and, you know, I didn't and blah, 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 who knows what they'll say. Dave, you're not getting a raise, so this is hypothetical.
No,
okay.
You want to avoid that water cooler conversation that happens regardless of the company.
Right.
And the business owner wears a lot of hats anyway.
Exactly.
He's got to wear so many hats that taking something as important as payroll or HR function and taking it out of that because it is more complex.
And I tell you, I tell people to call Pat, because having spent time with her in a very short time, you know you've got high trust levels.
Right.
She is really remarkable, and she has a deep experience having her own business. And so I don't know Pat, but more than like an hour of experience. But my name is Dave Ibbett, and I recommend her.
And thank you, Dave. I'll pay you later.
Now,
what about
her point of she's identified that CPA firms are kind of a multiplier for her.
Right.
How would you coach her in leveraging that?
I absolutely love what she said. I call them, and they would probably absolutely say, send me something. And I would qualify that a bit. But you really, I mean, if I had time to train you right this second, you need to read it. Because it is so powerful, and I understand your market. And you are such a solid woman. I mean, you know the industry, you're competent, and you're doing this out of choice. And I really believe that you believe in what you're doing. And so that, to me, makes such a huge difference. You will be able to handle that, Dave.
I just wanted to say one other thing for Pat's sake. She's such a perfect model for what we discussed here at the platform. And Pat has this deep level of experience, and she said, I use networking, I have, you know, contacts and so on. So she's not a person that's going to use the old method of prospecting. She's not going to go back to her office and sit and hammer out 100 calls a day. No way, no how. But if Pat did, 10, 12 calls that were strategically targets of people that she wanted to get to put her service on in front of them. If she did 12 in 1 year only and used just that target approach, she'll get – well, she'd probably get 11 of them because she's really good. But,
Thank you.
She'll make contact and she'll put out a good value statement. And I think that's how you would use SOAR in her business to reach CFOs and so on.
Absolutely. And it was funny because what you said when we first met, she said – you said, as I recall – that there's so many people that don't even know they need us.
Exactly.
And I think it's education. Isn't that what we are as salespeople?
Yeah. Right.
As
sure.
educators
right.
and a resource.
Yeah.
Well, Pat, I don't know where you would get better counsel or a stronger endorsement, so that's probably as good a place as any to wrap today's segment. But let's do make sure that our listeners know how to reach out and have a conversation with you. What's the best way for them to touch
okay.
base?
Well, visiting the website is one thing, and it is EinsteinHR.com, but you can reach me at pat@EinsteinHR.com. The easiest way, quickest way, I stay with my iPad all the time and my email going constantly.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer, Kevin Finn, and our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next time in the Fast Lane.